Welcome to the Fantasy Football Foursome. The Foursome answer your questions about players to pick up, players to drop, weekly matchups, injury reports, and current trends in fantasy football. Now, here's the host of the Fantasy Football Foursome, John Jennings.
Good Saturday morning. Welcome to week two of the NFL season, and we are off and running on the Fantasy Football Foursome. We appreciate you being with us today, and for the next hour, we're going to be talking about all there is in the world of fantasy football, try and help you to win your leagues. But I can't do that alone. So let's introduce who is on the show today, and are you in panic mode after week one? Go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, Jack Culbertson, Atlanta, Georgia, Kirk Cousins lover still, Falcons fan. I'm not in panic about my fantasy team or about the actual Atlanta Falcons. A little nervous about some of these injuries we're seeing early on, but, you know, that's what the waiver wire's for.
Right on. Lyle.
Lyle Dickman, Litchfield, Minnesota this morning, and it's been a mixed bag. We have ventured into a new dynasty league, and that went well, but balloon title defense is off to a rocky start, let's say, at the very least.
Well, my name is John Jennings, and boy, week one went fine. Just after Thursday night's game, there's a little trouble brewing, but we will get to that. We will be talking on today's show. We've got the injury report. We have DFS. We'll be talking about that. Waiver wire pickups for the week, and we will be breaking down that full slate of NFL games short of the one from Thursday night. And let's kick it off with the Hot Tub Club, the injury report. Jordan Love still not practicing. No shock there. His MCL and kneecap. Malik Willis filling in for week two. I got a question for you guys about that. Christian McCaffrey. Oh, man. Oh, did he break hearts? Oh, yeah, I'm playing. Yep, no problem. In fact, I was playing Justin in the Lyle's Dynasty League that he was talking about. And McCaffrey was in the lineup. All of a sudden, McCaffrey's out of the lineup, and all Justin could do was find Kyle Juszczyk. I should probably be thanking Christian McCaffrey, but that's not right to do that. He says he will be playing this week. Yeah, we've heard that before. Roma Dunze has been sitting out of practice along with Keenan Allen with some leg injuries. Keep an eye on that one. Puka Nacua, this is another sad one. This guy was never healthy this season. He wasn't healthy in the preseason. He wasn't healthy in the first game. He's on the IR. He's going to be out for at least 4 weeks, and it wouldn't shock me if he was out for more. David Njoku. He left the second half against the Cowboys, did not return with an ankle injury, probably 3 weeks on that, maybe four. Jake Ferguson, there was a big scare from the Cowboys tight end that, oh boy, he sprained his MCL. As of 2 days ago, he said that there's no pain. I think they think he's going to return in week three or four. He thinks he's going to return this week and play. Vikings Jordan Addison with a high ankle sprain. Looks like it's, I don't know, maybe he'll be out week two, but he should be back. It seems like it's pretty light. And then Kenneth Walker III, a undisclosed abdomen injury. Is it the dreaded sports hernia? Well, as of this recording, we don't know.
I'm hearing oblique, so it's better. Scary.
Yeah, it's core, groin, hernia. We don't know for sure. Keep an eye on his status, and hopefully you handcuffed yourself with Zach.
Like a wine tasting. Pass the Chardonnay.
Exactly right. Well, fellas, we had Thursday Night Football, and what a game it was supposed to have been between the Dolphins and the Bills. We talked a little bit off air before we started recording, Jack. Tua, is this the end of his career, unfortunately?
Boy, I'll tell you, John, it should be. It wasn't a big hit. He just doesn't know how to protect his head. If you look at his highlights, he's taken some big hits, but he mostly doesn't know how to keep his head from bouncing off the turf. Different generation of player, I guess. And I know he's not the biggest guy on the planet. I mean, if I'm his family, I'm highly encouraging him to retire. Oh. There's too much data on these heavy concussions. Now his backup looked terrible. As far as football goes, it'll hurt football. But, man, if I'm Tua, I'm praying the dude literally hangs it up and does not ever play again. I thought the same thing last season.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Lyle. So then that brings up the point when Jack said his backup looked, you know, rugged. Skylar Thompson, I believe, is who came in, if I'm not mistaken. Jordan Love goes down. What do? They have Malik Willis. who has been on the team for a cup of coffee. Skylar Thompson's been on the team a little bit longer. I'm just curious your thoughts. Why aren't teams targeting maybe just a better backup, especially in the case of Tua? The guy's had 27 concussions. I mean, I don't know. Just your thoughts on backup quarterbacks.
Well, there's never enough of them, as you always hear that in fantasy football and real football. They always say there's about 20 actual NFL quarterbacks out there, and the other 12 should be backups, right?
Yeah.
Look at what the Vikings tried to do this year. They were going to have McCarthy and Darnold, right? Yep. That's two decent options. Or at least that was their long-term plan, right? Yeah, I'm really surprised Miami didn't have a better backup option, and they're going to probably pay for that because they do have a really good explosive offense, and if the trigger man can't get the ball to Hill and Waddle and the two running backs that they want to feed the ball to, then they're kind of going to be a kind of a hot mess here for the next at least couple weeks, I would assume, until Tua makes a more permanent decision on what he's going to do with his football career.
Yeah, Ryan Tannehill sitting out there waiting to get signed by somebody. And
that's the Packers didn't even want him.
No. They chose Malik Willis, who can throw the ball from Wilmer to Hutchinson, but can't get it to anybody.
Ugh. Yeah, as long as he doesn't have to hit a specific building in Hutchinson, right. You're fine.
Right. Yeah, it's something. Ryan Tannehill, that's your best option. Well, he'll probably get signed. I don't know. All right.
By the end of the year, somebody will pick him up.
Oh, for sure. I mean, look what happened with Flacco. Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised they aren't. Well, the Colts will never get rid of Flacco after what he did, but Jameis Winston.
You got Russell Wilson, sitting up there in Pittsburgh. Yeah. I think there's between him and Fields. And you got Sam Howell backing up Geno Smith. I think Sam Howell would be very serviceable in Miami.
Yeah.
Dude can hustle. I mean, he can get the ball out.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that. All right, we're going to take our first break here on the Fantasy Football Foursome. Come back and talk daily fantasy football and strategy. Thanks for being with us on the Fantasy Football Foursome on the Loon. Thanks for joining us this morning on the Fantasy Football Foursome. If you miss any part of today's show, you know the drill. It's 941theloon.com or that free 94.1 The Loon app. Just go to your app store, whether it's an iPhone or an Android device. 100% free. We don't gather any data, but you can catch up on any part of the show that you missed. Time to talk daily fantasy for week two. And I don't know. It's, in my opinion, this is actually week one of the NFL season. Last week was the end of the preseason, but lots of values out there and some crazy point spreads and weather and whatever. But let's kick it off with quarterbacks. Jack, what do you got for a quarterback for DFS this week?
All right. Well, if you want to save some money in the quarterback spot, I think you can target this Tampa Bay-Detroit game indoors. You can go Baker Mayfield at 5,900. Had 29.7 fantasy points last week. Now, granted, Detroit's defense, they've got some explosiveness, but they've been really susceptible to the deep ball, and his whole team is coming in healthy. So 5,900, Baker Mayfield, if you want to save some money. If not, if you want to spend a few more, go to the other side and get Jared Goff.
Guy looked like Tom Brady last week. Oh, man, he looked good. Lyle,
quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah.
I'll take Jaden Daniels. The rookie played okay. The team didn't fare very well at Washington, but Daniels did his job and got some fantasy points for you. He's at $6,200 on DraftKings. I'm just going on the volume play. If they're going to continue to give him 16 carries a week and he's going to play quarterback for that team, he's going to score multiple touchdowns per week. You can book it. Jaden Daniels.
As per the norm, you guys grab the guys I want to talk about, too. Baker Mayfield, Jaden Daniels are high on my list as well. The only problem with Daniels is he had three fumbles last week, and they picked them all. The Washington Commanders, I almost said the other name, got them all back for him. That's a little scary, but I'm with you, Lyle. I mean, I think 6,200 is a great value. If you want value and you're going to think I'm totally off my rocker here, I like the other guy in that game, Daniel Jones at $5,300. Washington.
I knew you were going there, John.
Oh, Washington's defense is so bad. Oh, it's rough.
It's boom or bust. I will give you this for Dimes this week. It's boom or bust. He could be really well.
Yeah, and 5,300. Looked like Malik Nabers might have gotten a little dinged up, but nobody, even the Giants beat writers, aren't that worried about it. But still, you get a little value with the legs. Again, this is maybe, I don't know if it's a tournament player. I don't know if I'd do it for cash, but 5,300 is pretty cheap going against that defense. Lyle, how about some running backs? What do we got?
Well, I think everybody in the industry has been talking that Jordan Mason's been a free space this week. So if he's expected to suit up for the Niners, $5,200. So that's, I think a lot of people are going to be playing him. The guy I want in my lineup is Breece Hall. So from what I understood, he basically was being hit behind the line of scrimmage every time against the Niners last week. But he still had 50 yards and plenty of receiving work too. So, and it's supposed to be a super rainy game, I guess, in Nashville. So I'm guessing a lot of Breece Hall catches and short dump-offs when they play the Titans this Sunday.
Yeah, the Niners aren't going to give up on Mason. 28 carries last week or 28 touches. I can't remember what it was exactly. And they're going to ease McCaffrey into that role. I think Mason's a great value at 5,200. Jack, running backs.
Yeah, when you're talking long-term fantasy, you know, the Niners are playing it for the Super Bowl, not for the Vikings. So they got to bench McCaffrey for a bit. I've got Mason in, and he's probably the chalk for everybody this week at the value. So, you know, hopefully it pays off. But I've also got a guy we joked about in the preseason, John, old J.K. Dobbins, 5,400, 26 fantasy points on DraftKings last week going against Carolina, who's 31st against the run. Chargers should get out to a commanding lead in this game, and there should be plenty to go around. And Dobbins has, I mean, he should break away a 50-plus yard touchdown this week.
Once again, my two guys, Mason and Dobbins, I always grab a couple. The Panthers could lose to a high school team. That's how bad that squad is. And I'm totally on board with both of those picks. Dobbins looked, he couldn't seal the deal when he broke loose, but I don't think Harbaugh really cares that much about that. He looked really good. And yes, I was going to mention that in the first segment that I ate a plate of crap from you guys for drafting J.K. Dobbins. I know the season is just starting, but if I had to pick a third guy, it'd be David Montgomery against the Buccaneers. I like his value at 6,000. I was not a Gibbs guy to start the season. I know it's still a committee, but Montgomery seems to be the touchdown guy for the Lions, and I'd love to have a part of this game. I think Lions Buccaneers is going to be a lot of fun to watch. How about wide receivers, Jack? Back to you.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Okay, so wide receivers. I think CeeDee Lamb will have a big game, but he's so expensive. I think Cooper Kupp at 7,600 is my wide receiver anchor, and I'm building around him based on the value that I'm getting. But right now he's indispensable with the Rams with Nacua being injured. And then I'm going to back him up with Chris Godwin for 6,000. Again, I'm going to stack him up with Baker Mayfield going to Detroit, played out of the slot. 8 for 8 for 89 yards and a touchdown, I think, last week. I mean, he just balled out. So I'm all in on Godwin. I've got him in a couple of leagues, and I love him in daily this week.
A little trivia. Did you know that Chris Godwin's first name is actually Rod, which means
the Rod of God?
We could have had Rod God, and he instead chose Chris. Nothing against the name Chris, but Rod God would have worked. Anyway.
We have a pastor back home that his name is Rodney, and we call him the Rod of God.
I like it. Yeah, perfect. Lyle, wide receivers, what do you got?
I'm going to take Chris Olave. I know it was a rough start for him personally, although the Saints rolled last week against those wimpy Panthers. But I think game script will be a bit different when they're playing the Cowboys this week. He's down to $6,400 on DraftKings, and I'm going to guess he'll get his 5 or 6 touchdown or catches and hopefully find the end zone this week. And I also want to pair up for my lineup. I just have Daniels, and then I want to have Terry McLaurin at $5,700. I know, again, same thing. He didn't exactly have the best first week, but there are really not that many good viable passing options in that Washington offense.
Well, I'll throw out some value plays here for you. So you can go up and get Cooper Kupp and stuff. Wandale Robinson had a ton of targets last week. He's at 4,300. I don't know why I'm picking on Dan Jones and Wandale Robinson, but I think there's points to be scored there. My boy Greg Dortch at 4,600 had himself a nice week last week. But for 4,800, Brian Thomas Jr., what a debut for that kid, huh? Jaguars versus Browns. There's going to be some throwing going on in that game for sure. Tyler Johnson is stepping into the Puka Nacua role for the Rams. He's at 3,300. And A.D. Mitchell, who got missed three times by Anthony Richardson on long throws, speaking of guys who have arms all day, maybe a tournament play at $4,000. It's a little high, but clearly Richardson wants to get the ball to him, and I like that. Lyle, let's move on to tight ends.
Just to add, Thomas was the other player on my list, so I like him at 4,800. Yeah. Saving money at tight end, I'm going to go Colby Parkinson. I talked about him preseason. Rams have Nacua injured. Parkinson, I think, got four or five catches last week, and he's only at $3,100. So if you're really looking to save some money for your flex or a big star player, Parkinson's the way to go.
Yeah, I got him on my list. Jack.
Yeah, I agree. I've got him in real fantasy. I've actually benched Ferguson and Firemuth for Parkinson, and I think dropped him in one league just to get Parkinson. So I think he's the real deal moving forward. Brock Bowers, $4,000. Vegas going to Baltimore. Obviously, Baltimore should hit the over by themselves. Everyone is projecting this is going to be a runaway game, but there's still another professional series of athletes showing up to play against Baltimore. And so Brock Bowers is going to get the ball some for $4,400 on DraftKings. I like him. And if you're feeling froggy, this could be one of those. If you don't have him, you can't win a lineup that week. Taysom Hill at 3,900 with New Orleans going to Dallas. Now, hear me out. The only way New Orleans can beat Dallas is if they pull out all the stops. And if they have Taysom Hill involved in the run game, the pass game, and the catch game, this could be a good week for him. I would come in and put him all over the field. So, you know, if it's a draft, we talked in the past, John, right? Like, you got to take chances. You just can't chalk this all the way down and think you're going to win a lineup in DraftKings. It's not going to happen.
Yep.
You got to take some risks. And I think at 3,900, that's a risk you can take in the tight end or the flex if that's where your money lands.
Total tournament play. And I couldn't agree more. We know Taysom, the boom or bust that goes with Taysom Hill. And the 3,900 could pay off in spades or you get 2 points, you know, off of a carry. But that's the fun part of DFS. The only other guy I would add, I love Brock Bowers. Holy Hannah. Great start for him, too. 6 of 8 targets for 58 yards. I know that's not exciting, but he looked really good. Last guy, if you've got too much money on your hands, why not try Isaiah Likely again? I don't think this is going to stop. I think the Chiefs shut down Mark Andrews. I think they're going to keep Andrews and Likely out there because they can put Likely in a wide receiver role. And the Ravens don't have a whole lot cooking for pass catchers. I know about Flowers, but that's about it. So I think they're going to keep Isaiah Likely out there. He's a little spendy at 4,800, but I don't think he's going to get a ton of play in tournaments. I think that's, I don't know, just a guess. I'll be playing.
John, who was the big tight end that was in New Orleans with Drew Brees for a long time that was so fast and tall?
Not Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, Jimmy Graham. That's who Likely reminds me. He reminds me. He's the most hybrid tight end I've seen in a long time.
Since like Tony Gonzalez.
He's got speed. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's got a lot of speed, and so he can play it wide out. I agree. I would have him and Andrews on the field for every snap.
Yeah, he's a big dude and just a toe away from beating the Chiefs. Well, maybe beating the Chiefs. Anyway, back to DFS, and let's talk defenses quick, Jack.
Yep. So, all right, a couple of favorites on here. If you got the money and you can afford them, I'm going Steelers at Denver. I mean, T.J. Watt, just unstoppable. I know, obviously, Atlanta's not, you know, coming out gangbusters or whatever, but I bet Atlanta has a better O-line than Denver, and I know Kirk Cousins is better than Bo Nix. So this should be a game where, you know, there's a bet right now, John, at the casinos. Can Pittsburgh win without Denver scoring a touchdown or something like that? Or can Pittsburgh win without scoring a touchdown against Denver? I think the answer is yes.
Yeah, right.
So $3,500, if you can afford them, get those Steelers.
Lyle, what do you got?
High end, I like the Ravens. They get Vegas, and I think the Ravens are going to be hungry for a win after that close defeat on Monday or last week. And then save a few bucks, $3,000 for the Seattle Seahawks against New England. I know New England beat Cincinnati last week and wrecked everybody's challenge pools, but Seattle's defense should get some good run against New England this week.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. And boy, if you can, it's Dallas. Oof. Yeah. All right. We're going to come back and talk waiver wire. Thanks for having us on this morning. It's the Fantasy Football Foursome on the Loon. We're back on the Fantasy Football Foursome, and it is time to talk waiver wire. And there's plenty of reason to talk waiver wire at this point, because there are some significant injuries and whatnot that are going on. So let's see who you should get to help bolster your team. And let's start with quarterbacks, Jack.
Yeah, so you know, our normal rule, just for people checking in, we like to go 50% or more availability. Try to skip the real obvious stuff, you know, but sometimes you got to make a few exceptions. So there's a couple on here. I'm just going to talk about one of them. He's only available in 42% of leagues. That's Baker Mayfield. And the reason I like Baker Mayfield, if you need a QB and he's available in your league, is because he's going to play Carolina twice and he's going to play Atlanta twice. Yep. So, you know, his he's going to have some really good games. So I think Baker Mayfield, if he's available in your league, is someone you got to go grab.
Without question. I couldn't agree with that more. Lyle?
Yeah, Mayfield's at the top of the list. Justin Fields could be somebody you'd pick up. I don't know how long the shelf life is with Justin Fields and the Steelers, but again, back to when Jaden Daniels is playing, if they're going to give you 10, 15 chances to run the football, I'll take Justin Fields at a bit of a discount. And then I think the other probably trendy pickup has just been Matt Stafford. He's just more reliable, going to give you, you know, depending on your format, 15 points or so every week. So I think those are the top three guys in my book.
Yeah. Stafford's a little scary to me. The Rams are signing offensive linemen off of other teams' practice squads, but Matthew Stafford can make his receivers look like kings. I mean, he's a tough dude, tough dude. I like the Stafford call if you're a gambler. I'm a little surprised, and I've refreshed this screen a number of times looking at ESPN's waiver wire, that Sam Darnold is still available in 95% of leagues. I know the next stretch for the Vikings is tough. I mean, I know it's a tough schedule, but that also means he's going to be throwing. Maybe people are less gamblers than I am. I'll throw out this. You can probably assume to drop Tua Tagovailoa or put him on IR if that's where he goes. I don't know. But if you want to have some fun, Jameis Winston available in 99% of leagues. I think there's a pretty good chance he takes over as the Cleveland Browns quarterback. Running back slot.
Hey,
yeah.
With the Sam Darnold, why wouldn't you want Justin Jefferson's quarterback, right?
I agree.
And Aaron Jones's quarterback and Addison's quarterback. Like, yeah, you want this guy. And when it comes to Jameis Winston, I'll tell you this. No bigger fan of Jameis Winston in the league than you, but I am catching up, John. You know why? I hate Deshaun Watson.
Oh, boy.
It
just keeps
like
getting worse and worse,
being.
Jack. Yeah. Yep.
I don't like him as a human being. Look, I'm not saying people can't be redeemed. Lord knows. But you got to admit what you did. And he just needs to be out of the league, man, altogether. So I'm hoping Jameis Winston is a beast.
And try and turn it around like Michael Vick. You know, turn around his life, and like you said, admit the wrongdoings and more allegations coming out. It's pretty rough.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's not 55. It's not like he was a part of the Nazi party or anything like that, but he's done some stuff that he's going to have to do some time and make some amends. Like, let's just get it going.
Yep. I'm with you there. Running back, Lyle.
Well, some of the obvious, Jordan Mason, J.K. Dobbins, those guys are still sitting out there in your league. Those are guys you have to be picking up and playing probably right away. But if you're getting into deeper leagues like Balloon League has been over the years, guys like Justice Hill, I think, are guys you're going to have to pick up. He's going to be definitely their third down back. And so if the Ravens are in situations where they're losing and or winning big, Justice Hill can be on that field a lot more than people think.
Jack.
It's so funny because J.K. Dobbins and Jordan Mason were both drafted in our league.
Yes, they were.
They never even touched the waiver wire.
Yep.
All right. Well, I'll give you a guy. His name is Alexander Mattison. Yeah. Anyways, I would pick Madison up. I think that same thing like you said, Lyle. If it ever comes that Vegas is ahead, then Madison's a decent play. But he's really good at the pass catch. And I think that's where he is going to live when it comes to Vegas. So he's available in 70% of leagues right now. I think that you get him, and you, if you have a bench spot, you bench him. But I think he's probably a good flex play. I think he's game script, but I think they're going to be behind so much, it's going to be garbage time fantasy for Madison all year.
I'm with you on Madison, and I think it's because Zamir White stinks. I that's why I didn't draft him in any of my leagues. I just don't see a spot where Zamir White is going to be an RB2. The two names I'll throw out are Tank Bigsby and Bucky Irving. Tank Bigsby, so in the last game or last week, ETN didn't look all that hot, and Bigsby was pretty close to him in touches. ETN fumbles in either the third or the fourth. Tank Bigsby out touches ETN, and he looked really good. I think this could be a committee, and if ETN doesn't shape it up, this could be Bigsby more than ETN in that backfield. And the same thing is happening in Tampa Bay. Rashad White, I think, had 15 carries for 30 yards, and the fans have had enough. Even the fans can see. The guy's a volume. He's horse. He's a horse. He can do all that stuff. Bucky Irving comes in, gets the ball, and looks 10,000% better. The crowd's even chanting his name. So these two guys might be stashers and could be getting a lot more time in their backfields. How about wide receivers, Jack?
I agree 100% with those takes. Okay, so I'm going to give you a not-so-obvious. There's a couple. I'll give you two. I'm going to give you a not-so-obvious one starting out in Indiana. I'm going to go Alec Pierce. Not just because he had a big game, but because the other receivers also were terrible. And he seems to have a little bit of rapport. When you go 3 for 3 for 125 and a touchdown, I think that that's saying something. This guy's available in 90% of leagues. And all he did was put up 27 points or something last week. And then the other one is Brandon Cooks. I mean, he looked really good in Dallas. CeeDee's going to be getting double, triple covered. Jake Ferguson's injured. Zeke can't do anything really out of the backfield. I think Cooks could be a serious play and should probably be rostered in every league. He's available in 63% of leagues right now and probably outperformed your wide receivers last week.
Yeah, the name of this segment should be the Brandon Cooks waiver wire segment because it's always week two where we say you should be getting Brandon Cooks. Lyle, wide receivers.
Yeah, why is he available in two-thirds of leagues? That's crazy. Anyway, I think just the quick pickups, I had Pierce on my list as well. Tyler Johnson for the Rams, I think he's going to fill in for the Nacua role. So if you can scoop him up, get him. And I think if you're looking for a one-week pickup, really want to roll the dice, some Jalen Naylor for the Vikings with Addison out being out this week. I think Naylor is going to fill in that role. And is he going to be 100 yards this week? No, but I could very easily see him getting 4 or 5 catches, 50, 60 yards. And again, if he finds end zone like he did last week, it'll be a great fantasy play.
I don't mind some Alan Lazard. Jets look terrible. Lazard looked pretty good. Rodgers throws to his guys. He's available in 58% of ESPN leagues. And then the other guy, a little deeper play, available in 95% of leagues, is Jalen McMillan from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who quietly had a 10-point game, but he is going to be that third receiver in Tampa. And if it's anything like we saw last week, there could be a lot of throwing, a lot of bodies catching a lot of balls in Tampa Bay, and Jalen McMillan will be out there with Evans and Rod God, and could be a nice flex play during the bye weeks. So let's move on to tight ends. Lyle.
Well, we're going to state the obvious ones first. Isaiah Likely, again, he's up to like 85% ownership now, so he's probably not going to be out there for you, but if for some reason he is, scoop him up. Colby Parkinson, I think he's available still in 70% of leagues, and he's going to be the starter for these Rams for at least, I think, the first half of the season. So get him picked up, and he's probably a top 10 option right now.
Jack, what do you got, tight ends?
Yeah, just to stay off the obvious, I'll go I might grab Noah Gray for just to have a Kansas City receiving option. I mean, he was targeted 3 times. Mm-hmm. Caught all 3 of them, scored 6 points in a PPR league, get 30 yards, whatever. But it's a Kansas City offensive weapon. That's what we did with Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy and Hollywood Brown. We said, we want one of them, draft them. We don't know who's going to be the one. We don't know who's going to ball out, but get them on your squad. I think Noah Gray is that. If you watched, Kelsey really looked old in that game. I mean, I'm not knocking the dude. He is getting older for a player, but Noah Gray just had another step. So I would pick him up if you need a tight end or if you're hurting it, if you got the room. If you don't have the room, don't worry about it. But Parkinson's my number one.
Yeah, there's no doubt they're saving him for the playoffs. And by him, I mean Kelce. Yeah. Very disappointing week for all the tight ends when we said, oh, the tight end class is so deep. And it is. And yes, it was week one, but boy, there was a lot of underperforming going on. So if you were like me and kind of punted tight end, you know, there's guys out there like Juwan Johnson from New Orleans. Yeah, it wasn't really all that awesome. 2 for 26, but he did pick up a score and he had 10 points for you. Looks like he is going to be a target for Carr. It's not sexy, but it's functional, and he's available in 82% of leagues. Let's roll through defenses quick, Jack.
Okay, if you weren't fortunate enough to get those Los Angeles Chargers, which are now owned everywhere, I think you can look at a few matchups, and there's a few things that come to mind this week. I do like the Broncos' defense against the Steelers. I think this could be a low-scoring affair all around, and it's still Justin Fields. The guy's still not going to be great. If you're looking for a season-long option and you can't get the Chargers, they're available in 47% of leagues. I'm talking about the Seattle Seahawks. They looked pretty darn good, and I think they'll be a very serviceable defense, but this is one you might be able to do a carousel with. But I like the Seahawks this week for sure, and I'll leave the Giants Commanders thing up to you guys.
Lyle.
Those were all on my list. Chargers, Seahawks, and maybe if you're looking for a little more of a long-term play, Vikings, Minnesota Vikings, they're available in about 50% of leagues right now.
I'm going to give you, if you're in a tight league, the Patriots. Yeah, the Patriots. They have a real live defense. They beat up on Cincinnati, and Seattle is flying all the way across the United States to face them. It looks like maybe a little bit of a trap game. If you want to roll the dice, I don't mind one bit with the Patriots, especially coming off a big win after Cincinnati. Taking on Seattle, I think it could be. I think it could score you some points. All right, we're going to come back. We got a full slate of NFL games to break down, tell you our start'em and sit'em. Thanks for joining us on the Fantasy Football Foursome. We're back on the Fantasy Football Foursome Week 2. Time for start'em, sit'em, trench'em, bench'em, whatever you want to call it, for the remaining games for Week 2 of the season. And it's time to kick it off with the Las Vegas Raiders traveling to Baltimore to take on the Ravens, Jack.
All right, well, let's start with them trenches. We're going to keep Davante Adams in the lineup until he proves otherwise. It's, we're going into the second week, so we got to still run him out there. Minshew's on the bench. White, we talked about him, John. You and I don't like him. If you've got him and you don't think you have better options, maybe he's a sexy flexi, but if it's him or Madison, I'm trenching Madison and benching White. Brock Bowers, I'm going to keep him in the trenches. I think he's going to be the real deal pretty much all season. On to the Baltimore side, a whole lot easier to break down. We're going to keep Lamar in the trench. Derrick Henry, Zay Flowers, who looked great. Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely, both tight end sexy flexy starts. The kicker, the Ravens defense, run them all. I even like Rashad Bateman a little bit, and Justice Hill is someone you should pick up in your league. Maybe not start him this week. So we've got about six trenches in Baltimore, three maybe in Vegas, and we'll see what happens to the Raiders.
Chance of showers. Baltimore is favored by 9 points. Lyle, Los Angeles Chargers, Carolina Panthers.
Oh, this should be what? About 30, first team to about 17 points win, something like that? Yeah. Not the most exciting fantasy matchup, but there's definitely some guys to put in the trenches, starting with, I think, both running backs, J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards. I think there's going to be enough carries to go around to support two fantasy running backs as maybe RB2s this week. So get those guys in the lineup. I will, too, play Ladd McConkey. I think it was 5 catches, 7 targets, 39 yards, and a touchdown. Again, I think he's flex-worthy. I'm going to stay away from the other Charger receivers. Looks like Quentin Johnson and Josh Palmer, if he can actually finish a game and not get kicked out. Maybe options for the long term, but they're on the bench for me this week. And then for Carolina, I think there's probably only one player I would even consider playing, and that's Deontay Johnson, just based on the fact that they targeted him 6 times last game. But you can't play any of the other Carolina players, Bryce Young, Xavier Leggett, Adam Thielen, even Chuba Hubbard. He only had 6 carries last week, so I think I'm keeping all those guys on the bench.
Yeah.
Oh, and do play the Chargers defense. They are a must start.
The insiders are calling the Carolina Bryce Young trade the worst trade in NFL history. have they forgotten about the Herschel Walker trade? So until further notice, it's the second worst trade.
How about the Deshaun Watson trade?
Yeah, right up there too. Ugh. Yeah, Chargers.
Texans looking like geniuses.
Chargers favored by 6 on the road. Kind of like over that. But anyway, New Orleans, Dallas is up next. We'll kick it off with New Orleans, who are not a good football team, but they sure look like a good football team. Why? Because they were playing the Panthers last week, who they just torched, absolutely torched. Up against Dallas this week, I think it's going to be a different story. So I'm not putting Derek Carr in, but I do think you got to play Alvin Kamara. I see a lot of passing coming this way, so maybe you got to try a little Chris Olave, wide receiver 2, I think, this week. Rashid Shaheed, maybe a flex. That might be it for me on the New Orleans side. And then over to Dallas, well, Dak Prescott, you got to start him. Zeke Elliott looked pretty good. There were a lot of Rico Dowdle managers who were pretty upset because they thought it'd be more of a committee and that Zeke was a corpse. Zeke looked pretty good last week. We're playing him. Of course, you're playing CeeDee Lamb. I like Brandon Cooks as a flex this week. Keep an eye on Jake Ferguson. He claims that he's going to be playing. If he's not, I still don't think you put in Luke Schoonmaker. You probably got better options than that on the tight end. And the Dallas defense is a start this week. Dallas favored by 6.5 points. Jack, Tampa Bay, Detroit.
All right, this should be a good game. On the Tampa Bay side, I'm putting Baker Mayfield in the trench. I'm confident in him. He looked like he was having fun. Team was doing well. Mike Evans, he's in the trenches. Chris Godwin, definitely in the trenches for me. I'm putting Rashad White in as well. 21 attempts last week, had good yardage. I mean, did really well with what he had. There were times it didn't look pretty, but the fantasy score played out. I would pick Bucky Irving up, put him on my bench on the team just so someone's got him and he's not out there playing the waiver wire. Don't care much for the tight end as far as Tampa Bay goes. Kicker and defense, I would not probably start the Tampa Bay defense. I'm fine with the kicker. Onto the Detroit side of the ball, it's going to be a lot of the same. It's going to be essentially those key offensive players, and I'm not going to do the defense right. So we're going to put Laporta in the trench. Jared Goff may be a QB1 this week. Jahmyr Gibbs, St. Brown. I like Montgomery in a flex. I think they do a good job of using him and Gibbs, and if they're both healthy, I think they're both playable, kind of like Warren and Harris were last year for the Steelers sometimes. Williams carrying a questionable tag into the weekend but looks to be good. Tampa Bay's ranked 1 against these receivers and stuff, John, when you look at them in fantasy because of who they played the first week. So that's gonna change. Jared Goff's going to change that standing. I don't like the Lions defense. I'd go with the kicker. Every offensive position on both sides of the ball, this should be a fun game to watch.
I forgot about Dallas's kicker in my last breakdown. 66 yards. Congratulations. Oh, called back.
I've got him. I've got him in a couple leagues. That guy's a beast.
Yeah, he's something else. Detroit. Oh, yeah. Detroit's favored by 7.5 points. Lyle, up next for you. Indianapolis coming to Green Bay.
Yeah, this should be a compelling matchup, and I got 3 guys to put in the trenches for sure for Indianapolis. They're pretty obvious. Anthony Richardson, he's just having a beast game that first week, even though he only completed, 9 of 19 passes?
9 passes.
He's in. Jonathan Taylor, I think he's going to have a big game against Green Bay. I think he's an RB1, and I think Michael Pittman still, despite a disappointing first week, he's a safe RB or wide receiver 2. Looks like Josh Downs is questionable with an ankle injury. That makes me just want to keep him on the bench. I know Alec Pierce had a big first week. I don't know if I can put him safely into the trenches either. Same with A.D. Mitchell. And for Green Bay, it all depends on whether Jordan Love is going to play. And honestly, I very seriously doubt he'll play. So basically this notches or puts everybody on that Green Bay team down a notch. You're not playing Malik Willis if he does suit up. I think the one guy you do have to have in the trenches is Josh Jacobs. That Indy run defense was pretty poor against Mixon and the Texans last week. I think they're Jacobs, even without a viable passing option, I think Jacobs could have a big game. And the only one of the other receivers I think I would want to play is Jaden Reed. I expect Willis to throw some short passes, and if I think Jaden Reed out of the slot is probably their best bet to get more than 4 or 5 catches. I'm going to keep Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, Dontayvion Wicks, and the rest of the Packers on my bench.
Yeah, they can actually scheme things for Reed. That I agree with you on that. We may get to see the rare nine-man box against Malik Willis. You know, just try to throw the ball. Chance of storms. And Indianapolis favored by 2.5 points. So I get Cleveland and Jacksonville. Oh, Cleveland. Oh, did they look terrible. Deshaun Watson, no. Jerome Ford, maybe. Maybe a flex, maybe an RB2, I don't know. And I'll tell you who looked serviceable last week, Jerry Jeudy. I'm not sure I'm ready to tell you to start him or not, but he could be a flexy play. I don't know. Amari Cooper, of course, you gotta throw him out there. And I do like Cleveland's defense. They didn't look great against Dallas, but that's because they were playing Dallas. So I think it could be different against Jacksonville. I just don't know what's going on with that team. And speaking of Jacksonville and their new stadium with the new name, it was supposed to be Ever Something Bank, and they changed it to Trevor Something Bank Stadium. And that's because of Trevor Lawrence. Well, don't you have to be good before you can have your stadium named after you? Anyway, over to Jacksonville's side. I think you got better options on the waiver wire than Lawrence. Travis Etienne and Tank Bigsby, we talked about that committee right now. You drafted him to start him, so throw Etienne out there. I'm going to be wait and see on Tank Bigsby. Christian Kirk, not much happening. Gabe Davis, no thanks, but I'm starting Brian Thomas Jr. He looked fantastic. Looks like Trevor Lawrence is already feeling good about him, and I'll give Evan Engram one more week as a tight end. Defenses, I'm just staying away from both. Maybe Cleveland, like I said, but yeah, let's throw Cleveland out there. Jacksonville favored by 3. Storms could come to this game. This theme will be going on throughout our entire Trenchum and Benchum. Jack, San Francisco taking on the Vikings.
All right, Johnny, I got to just say really fast about the last one. The Texans got the Browns 2022, 2023, and 2024 first round picks. And some other picks for Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
I mean, what are we doing? All right. San Fran coming to Minnesota. Hey, Minnesota fans, defense played really well. Offense didn't look great. Here's what's going to happen. The Niners are going to remind you who you are. They're going to come in and they're going to destroy. It's going to be a good game to watch. It's going to be good football. We're trenching everyone in San Fran, John. Deebo, Brock, Jordan Mason, Ayuk, George Kittle, Moody, the Niners defense. I can see a Juwan Jennings sighting in this. I mean, he didn't look terrible, you know, but if you got him in and they're wearing a Niners jersey, you know, put him in. If you could put in Kyle Shanahan, throw him in there too. On the Minnesota Vikings side of the ball, you know, they did look decent. Defense looked a lot better. This isn't the week they're going to shine. Jefferson's going to be in the trenches for sure. Aaron Jones is going to be in the trenches as an RB2. If it's tight end mandatory, I think Munt is serviceable to play. I do like the Naylor call on if, you know, if Addison's not going to suit up, you might as well go for option 2. But this Niners defense doesn't play any games. I mean, they could really destroy this Vikings offense. So my only guaranteed trenches are Jefferson, Jones, and that's it on the Minnesota side.
San Francisco is favored by 5.5 for the home.
And they'll cover. I don't see how they don't cover.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. Lyle, Seattle, heading to the surprising Super Bowl-bound New England Patriots.
You really love those Patriots, huh, after one game?
Yeah.
We'll find out how good they are by the end of the year, but it was a good first week for New England and the post-Bill Belichick era. I got 4 guys you're starting for Seattle. You're starting Kenneth Walker III, again, assuming he's ready to go. He's an RB1. DK Metcalf got shut down by Patrick Surtain last week. I don't expect that to continue on. I mean, they're not going to see a cornerback quite that good with New England. And Metcalf is someone you drafted to play, so you got to have him in your lineup. I'm going to play Tyler Lockett. Again, assuming his thigh injury doesn't keep him out of the lineup, I'm playing Lockett. And I'm definitely playing the Seattle defense. Jackson Smith and Jigba only had 2 targets last week. I know on the ESPN app he's forecast for like 12 points, but I'm going to keep him on the bench until he starts showing something. And then just a sneaky pickup, again, if for some reason Walker doesn't go, pick up Zach Charbonnet and get him in your lineup. I think he'd at least be a good flex option. I think that's his floor. As for New England, it's pretty rough. Ramondre Stevenson, hard to say. I think you got to play him. He had a beast week, first week. he is their offense. I don't think there's any other New England player to play. I don't want DeMario Douglas or Hunter Henry in my lineup. Maybe the New England defense as a DFS play.
Clear skies in New England, and Seattle is favored by 3.5 points. I got the Jets and Tennessee. The Jets, Aaron Rodgers looked like an old man, and it's because he's an old man. I don't know much about that changing this week, so I'm leaving him on the bench. You're starting Breece Hall, you're starting Garrett Wilson, and you're flexing Alan Lazard, who we talked about earlier, who had himself a pretty nice week. As far as the tight end for the Jets goes, Tyler Conklin, well, I don't think so. Not this week, anyway. Moving on to, and you're going to start their defense. Why? Because I don't know if you guys caught Billie Jean's debut, Will Levis. Oh, he just looked defeated at the end of that game. I think he had an underhand attempt at a throw and turned into a pick six. And Mason Rudolph probably licking his lips at a chance for starting again in the NFL, but they're going to run Levis out there again. You're leaving him on the bench, by the way. Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears. Jack had talked about the committees before of like Pittsburgh had last year. I think this is Tony Pollard's backfield, fellas. They traded, the new coach traded to get Tony Pollard on the team, and he out-touched Spears by a ton. I think this is Tony Pollard's backfield, and I think you can start him as an RB2. He looked really good. Here's the problem. Calvin Ridley, DeAndre Hopkins, Tyler Boyd, all good NFL receivers, but they got Levis throwing to him. You probably got to flex him if you've drafted him, but don't expect a whole lot, especially after last week, and I do not like Tennessee's defense at all. Rain likely in the Jets, favored by 4 points. Jack, Giants, Washington.
Well, I tell you, this should be a real barn burner, right? This is which defense can get exploited the most by the quarterback that can't throw the most. You talked about Danny Dimes. I do think this week you could put him in the trenches pretty safely. Real sneaky DFS play. If you had a Tua, Danny Jones would get you through this week while you figure it out. Malik Nabers, should be up and healthy. I know he caught a whole 5 passes and he's a rookie, but he's already questionable, right? Should be healthy, and if he is, he's in the trenches. Outside of that, Graham Gano, I'm not putting anybody else in for the Giants, period, across the board. I'm not putting in Singletary. He's on the bench. I'm not doing anything with the Giants until they show me that somebody knows how to run an offense. Onto the Washington side of the ball. If it wasn't for Jaden Daniels, I could not trench a lot of these guys too, but Jaden Daniels is going to have to be in there because the guy's got footwork. Can't throw the ball real well yet, but he's got footwork. Robinson Jr. in the trench, McLaurin. I'm putting Eckler in the trench as a RB2 sexy flexi. Zach Ertz did have 3 targets, so he's trenchable in this game, I think. The Commanders defense, I'd probably put him on the bench unless you're just real super desperate for some reason. And then they do have a new kicker, John. They fired their kicker last week. They got a new guy in who's about 85% lifetime between field goals and extra points, so he's not a bad kicker. His name's Siebert if you need him. I think this is going to be a weird game where they could accidentally hit the over because they're so bumbling. We'll see what happens.
Chance of showers to make it even better. Washington favored by 1.5. Lyle, late afternoon games, the Rams and the Cardinals.
Yeah, lots of starts here. Some pretty obvious ones, too. Kyren Williams, he's in the trenches all the time. So is Cooper Kupp. And I think Colby Parkinson has graduated to that level, too. I think he's certainly in a 10 or 12-team league. He's a viable starter at this point. I'm going to probably keep Matt Stafford on the bench. I like Tyler Johnson over DeMarcus Robinson this week. So maybe in some deeper leagues, I could vouch for a little Tyler Johnson in your lineup. As for Arizona, you're playing the usual suspects there. You got to have Kyler Murray, James Conner, Trey McBride. Those are guys you drafted to start. And everybody else was drafting Marvin Harrison to start as well. I know he had a terrible first game, but I think it's way too early to pull the plug on him. So keep all four of those guys in the trenches. I could maybe see some Greg Dortch as well, or Michael Wilson, but I think both those guys belong on the bench this week.
They specifically tried to shut down Harrison last week, and they did. He was wide open at the end of the game, and Kyler didn't even see him. But he had a rough week. I'm with you on that. Arizona favored by 1. Yikes. They don't have a defense. I don't know how. Anyway, Pittsburgh Denver up for me. Well, Justin Fields is kind of a sneaky play. I didn't catch a whole lot of the Denver Broncos highlights from last week, but Justin Fields, again, much like talking about the kid from Washington, Jaden Daniels. Yeah, Justin Fields is kind of the same guy. He runs around all over the place, and he's a Taysom Hill. He can get you 38 points. He can get you 7. I don't know. Pittsburgh is not really known for the scoring this year so far, but I don't mind Fields this week. Najee Harris, I like him over Jalen Warren. I'd start Najee Harris as maybe an RB2. George Pickens is the only thing that saved Justin Fields because he's so good at what he does. I like him as a flex play this week. And Pat Freiermuth was, he was nowhere to be found. He had a few points, but that's what all tight ends had this week. I guess if you got to start him in a tight end mandatory, just go ahead. Just don't call me if he didn't do anything for you. Over to Denver. Now, they're already booing Bo Nix in Denver. I did know that part of it. Javonte Williams. This is quietly turning into Jaleel McLaughlin area. Javonte Williams and Jaleel McLaughlin, a clear split. McLaughlin's going to get you more points in a PPR league. Williams is maybe more of your standard league guy. I'm not saying bench him. I hope you didn't draft him high enough where you have to start him. But keep an eye on Jaleel McLaughlin as time goes by. Cortland Sutton, yuck. Devon Vele, I believe, went 8 of 8, if I remember right, but only for a handful of yards. But he still got you 10 points. I don't like anything that has to do with this Denver team. Sit them all. Ugh. Pittsburgh, 2.5-point favorites. Chance of storms. Lyle, Cincinnati taking on Kansas City.
Well, it starts again here. Kansas City, it's just the obvious. You got to play Patrick Mahomes. You're playing Isaiah Pacheco. He's clearly an RB1 at this point. And Rashee Rice had a huge, huge, huge opener for the Chiefs. So he may be even a wide receiver one by the end of the year. And Travis Kelce, despite the slow start, I mean, you drafted him as a tight end one, and you're going to keep trotting him out there. The one question mark is Xavier Worthy. He had 3 touches and ended up turning him into 2 touchdowns. Can he keep that performance up? No, that's not sustainable. But is he going to be a bigger part of the offense and have more volume? I think he's worth a flyer as a sexy flexi this week, so put him in your lineup too. And as for the Bengals, it gets a little dicey after the obvious. Ja'Marr Chase is somebody I think you still have to put in. Despite the holdout and the poor first week, you're playing Ja'Marr Chase. You're playing Joe Burrow. I think he's a top 12 option this week, even against the Chiefs. But after that, it gets pretty dicey. T. Higgins looks like he's going to be out. I think maybe some Zach Moss in a super or in a deep league or as a flex. I like him over Chris Brown at this point. But I think those are probably the only 3 players I'd start for the Bengals on Sunday.
Watergate was hot on Twitter. Joe Burrow trying to grab a Gatorade bottle and that wrist clearly bothering him. Kansas City favored by 5.5 points. I get Sunday Night Football, and that's Chicago versus Houston. Well, they clearly put it on Sunday Night Football to showcase Caleb Williams, who last week kind of stunk up the joint. I think he had 98 yards, if I remember right. I'm still not playing him. I'm not playing him for Sunday Night Football. DeAndre Swift, sure, a flex, fine. DJ Moore, I think he's a wide receiver 1 or 2 this week, but Keenan Allen and Rome Odunze are both banged up. Sure, throw in Cole Kmet if you want to. Again, only tight end mandatory starts, but man, I think the waiver wire is a lot healthier spot for Kmet. I'd just drop him, be honest with you. Houston, now we've got some starts. C.J. Stroud, of course, you're throwing him out there. Joe Mixon looked like Walter Payton last week. He's an RB1. Steph Diggs had a great game. Nico Collins, I still have faith in Tank Dell. I like all 3 of those guys. And again, I'm just iffy on Dalton Schultz. I'm just really skittish on tight ends after what happened with week 1. But I think you start them all. And I might even start some Houston defense the way Chicago looked last week. Houston favored by 6.5. And that brings us to Monday Night Football. Jack, your Atlanta Falcons taking on the Eagles.
Oh, man. Well, you know, this will be a real litmus test. All right, let's just get through some of the obvious. We're going to trench Bijan. We're going to trench Drake London in a WR2 sexy flexi. We're going to trench Kyle Pitts in tight end mandatory. I'm okay with the Atlanta kicker. And then Kirk Cousins, John, I'm going to put him on the bench in fantasy this week. You know, played a lot out of the shotgun. We talked about it. I'm not giving up on my team. It'll take 3 or 4 weeks before that happens. I'm still all in on Kirk and the Atlanta Falcons, but as far as fantasy goes, we're down to those three primary options. On to the Eagles side of the ball. Jalen Hurts, Saquon, A.J., Devontae, Jake Elliott, the kicker for sure. And the Eagles' defense is not good at all, but neither was the Atlanta offense last week. So if you have them and your question, should you pick someone else, I think you're fine this week with the Eagles. You know, they're going to do well. But they are not the Steelers. Just keep that in mind. Don't expect a big performance. So a lot more trenches on the Eagles side. I'm hoping that it's we change some play calls and they let Kurt get a little bit more under center and play the way he likes to play. But I'll be watching the game. So
slight chance of showers and the Eagles favored by 6.5 points. And that's going to do it for the week 2 edition of the Fantasy Football Foursome. If you missed any part of today's show, online, 941theloon.com, or grab that free 94.1 The Loon app. We want to thank our producer, Nate Thomas. And for Jack Culbertson and Lyle Dickman, my name is John Jennings. We'll see you next Saturday for the Fantasy Football Foursome on The Loon.